come before you, Father, this morning as your people. We come before you, Lord God, as those that are called by your name, Lord. A holy people, Father. A people, Lord God, that you have called, Lord God, to walk with you, Lord God, in righteousness and in truth. And Lord, this day, Father, as your people, Lord, we pray, Father, Lord, that your kingdom would come and your will would be done. Father, we give ourselves over, Lord God, to your power, to your presence, to your spirit, to your will, Lord God. And we do take authority, Father, over everything that is not like that, Lord God, and we dispatch it and throw it out in Jesus' name. And Lord, right now, Father God, I just acknowledge openly that the only good thing in me is your spirit. And so to your spirit I yield. And Father, we leave every care, every concern, Lord, every worry, Lord God, every program, every thought, Lord, everything, Father, at your feet right now. We pray, Lord, that you, by your spirit and by your strong hand, would do what you desire to do with and through all of those things and situations. And Lord, just that you would lead us, Lord God, in the way of peace, righteousness, and truth as we look to you, Father. And thank you for your rest, Lord God. And we walk in that in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, good morning. Good morning. It is always, always, always good to come together in Jesus' name. Because, you know, for us, we, you know, God has a lot of things that He's called us to, specific things, actions, works in the earth. We've been given assignments in the earth, yes? But never lose track of the assigner while you get involved in the assignment. Too often, it's very, very easy for people to begin working for God and miss the fact of the God that would have sent you into the harvest field in the first place. And you can get very confused and very sidetracked in the middle of trying to do good things. And we know, especially here, that really anything that happens at all is that which flows from the Spirit of God, that which He makes happen, that which He causes to be. And if it doesn't happen by Him, nothing happens. So we have to always keep that in mind, because it's a balance that we maintain. And the enemy is also very crafty, and he tries to use good things to slowly steer you into another direction of that which you should not be in. And it is those little foxes that destroy the vine. It's those little things that creep in that eventually those get to it. Okay. You know, I had a request recently to talk a little bit about Christian morals and what it is for followers of Christ, what God's expectation is for His people in the earth. But just what it is that we, our part to play in our walk and relationship with God. You know, sometimes people are like, oh Lord, your will be done, Lord, your will be done. Okay, fine, God's will be done, but what part do you have to play in the will of God being manifest in the earth?
Okay.
You know, that's very convenient. Oh God, okay, you do it. Lord, your will be done. What do you have to do? What do you have to say? God has given you a role in all of this as well. What's your part in that process? Okay, I'm going to give you one small part of that today. We're going to go into one small part of that today. Go to Romans chapter 12. Okay. And just before we start with the scripture, I want to say something. God has put many, many things in His Word for your life. He's trying to give you an abundant life here in the earth. He doesn't change. People try to dance all over the Word and what God has said to His people, but God does not change. So we need to bring our lives into alignment with the Scriptures rather than hoping we can make something fit that which our preconceived agenda. Okay?
නමුත් උන්වහන්සේ කවදාකවත් වෙනස් වෙන්නේ නැහැ වචනේ වෙනස් වෙන්නේ නැහැ නමුත් අනිත් දේවල් තමයි වෙනස් වෙන්නේ. ඉතින් අපිට ඕන විදිහට අපි දේවල් හදා ගන්නවා. නමුත් උන්වහන්සේ අවශ්‍ය වෙන්නේ උන්වහන්සේ වචනේ කෙරේ බලාපොරොත්තු වෙන්න.
Okay, Romans chapter 12 verse 1 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God.
දෙවියන් වහන්සේ විසින් පිළිගත හැකි වූ යාගයක් කොට ඔප්පු කරන හැටියට දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ දයාව නිසා නුඹලාගෙන් ඉල්ලමි. ඒ නුඹලාගේ ආත්මික සේවය වේ. නුඹලා මේ ලෝකයේ ආකාරයට සමාන නොවි දෙවියන් වහන්සේගේ කැමැත්ත එනම් යහපත් වූ පිළිගත යුතු වූ සම්පූර්ණ වූ දේ කුමක් කියා දැනගන්න පිණිස සිත අලුත් කර ගැනීමෙන් අන්‍යාකාර ඇත්ත වේ.
Okay, now there's certain things, there's several things packed into these two scriptures. We're just going to talk about one element, but if you are wondering what's the will of God for your life, well, there's certain things you need to do on your side to put yourself in a place where the will of God can be manifest in your life. And also, the devil knows that. So, because he knows there's certain things that you need to do as well to put yourself in a place where the will of God can flow in and through you, he works very hard to keep you from being in that place. Okay, so verse 1 here says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Your reasonable service. This is the least you can do. Not this is like the big thing to do. This is like one of the starting places. This is the least you can do. Since God has done so much from you, you can at least start here.
දෙවියන් වහන්සේ ගොඩාක් ලොකු කරුණක් කරනවා. අදුතරමින්ම කරන්න පුළුවන් කොටස තමයි මේ කොටස.
You can at least, by the power of God that He has put in you by His Holy Spirit, bring your body and your flesh into alignment with the Spirit and the will of God. See, you are made up as when you. All right, I stand here as a person. I'm a person in this world, right? But there is several major components to who I am while I exist here. So there is the spirit that's in me. There's that spirit that's in me. It's either alive because it has been quickened by God, or it is dead because it is cut off from Him. In my case, it's very much alive. Then there's your soul, there's the natural, there's that part of you that is your feelings, your emotions, your that make up all of even within all the sensories that hooks into your flesh, but it's a separate part. And then there is your physical being, your flesh, your body, that you, it's the suit that we live in while we're here in this world. So if we went on a rocket ship to the moon, if we were going to be on the moon and be able to walk around on the moon, we would have to have a moon suit so that we could exist in that environment, move around, do things on the moon. So the same thing, for us to exist on the earth, we need an earth suit so that we can be here. And when this suit is finished, we leave, because the suit doesn't work, we don't exist in this environment anymore. Now that soul and that spirit that's within you, they carry on. They continue to go. But the suit that you're in, that which allows you to exist in this environment, that finishes. And in fact, no flesh can glory in the presence of God. There is no suit that you are in, or any of us is in, that will see God in this state. We will all have to get new bodies in order to even be able to be in His presence. And part of the reason for that too is the bodies that we're in right now. Part of what we were left with as a result of the fall is the body and the flesh that we're in has corruption built into it. It has a mind of its own, and if it is left unchecked, it will go into all kinds of things that are contrary to the will of God. Now Paul said, he said, I beat my body and I make it my slave. See, the one thing that you can do with your flesh is bring it under subjection. And you, by the Spirit of God, tell your flesh what to do, Not the other way around, where most people live, where their flesh tells them what they want them to do, and then they end up going and doing whatever their flesh wants to do. See, kingdom people are led by their spirit. The spirit is the first thing that tells you what to do, and then the mind and the flesh fall into line to carry out the will of the spirit. Whereas kingdom of darkness people, people that are sold out to the world, people that are on their way to hell, they live by the flesh and the fallen mind first, and basically their life is a pursuit of that. Now the demonic understands how this stuff works. I see so often, more times than not, the demonic understands much more how this works than the people that call themselves Christians. And so I see so many people that call themselves Christians that are going through crazy things, and it's like, look, this is elementary stuff. This is starting stuff. This is where we start. Here, flip to Acts 15. Let me show you this. Acts 15. Okay, early church, just getting going. Acts 15, and now there's a debate in the church, and early in the, as everything is growing, they're like, what do we tell those that are coming to Christ now? What basic instructions do we give them that will help them in their journey in what God has called them into, which is an abundant life that Jesus talked about in John 10? So if you want the whole context, read Acts 15, but we're just going to pick it up here at verse 13, and it says, "And after they had held their peace, James answered, saying, Men and brethren, hearken unto me. Simon had declared how God at first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to this agree the words of the prophets as it is written, After this I will return and will build again the tabernacle of David which has fallen down, and I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord who doeth all these things. Knoweth unto God are all his works from the beginning of the world." Known unto God. Yeah. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which from among the Gentiles are turned to God, but that we write them that they abstain from pollution of idols and from fornication and from things strangled and from blood. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Just read 17 through 20.
Okay, now
keep in mind the context. People coming to Christ, Spirit of God in them, giving them, let's give you some basic instructions that this will help you tremendously in walking out what it is that God has for you. Okay, pollution of idols, fornication, just read verse 20. Yeah. Sexual sin, from things strangled and from blood. Okay. Pollution of idols. Now, I won't go too much into all of these, but all the way back to Exodus 20, I am the Lord thy God, and me only shall you serve. You shall have no other God ahead of me. You will not have another God. And Jesus, when He came into this world, and He said in John 10, I came that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly, then He starts to show people, if you want the abundant life, back to again, here's what you have to do on your side. There's some free will decisions and free will choices that you make that allow for the abundant life to be manifest in your life. So if there is something else that is competing for your affections, for lordship in your life, that is not God, that will be a weed that will destroy your walk in your relationship with Him. See, we live in a world full of idols all around us. There's idols everywhere. We see the overt ones in this country very clearly. All the statues everywhere, those are very clearly, those are idols. And there's some that are so commonplace and people have gotten so used to them, like money becomes an idol for many, many people. So, and even scriptures talk about it. The love of money is the what of all evil? It's the root, it's the beginning. So there are idols that creep up in people's lives. Your family can become an idol. Your children can become an idol. Your work can become an idol. Sorry. Okay. You know, a good thing, if it's out of position and out of place, will destroy you. You know, a good thing, if it is out of position and out of place, as far as God's will, God's design, will destroy you. So if your love for your family supersedes your love for God, that will be what destroys you. Just go and look at Jesus' words. Let me go bury my father. It was one case. Another one where He just said, look, unless you hate your father, mother, brother, sister, even your own life, you can't be my disciple. You can't follow me. Everything must be brought under the Lordship of Jesus Christ and put in the correct place. And He quickens people by His Spirit on what to do, how to do that. And people either justify their idolatry, make an excuse for their idolatry, say, no, this is okay, God understands, you know, this is... Or they say, Lord, absolutely, you're right, I repent, let me get my life aligned with you because I don't want to miss what you're doing. See, most will justify and lie and then find other people that are justifying and lying the same way, get together in a group and all tell each other, we're okay with God, right? Yes, yes, we're okay with God. You're doing the same thing, I'm doing the same thing. We must be okay. Okay. There are massive churches with tens of thousands of people given over to idolatry, patting each other on the back, telling each other they're okay, and they've missed it completely. They serve the world, not God, and they all have to be together, tell each other they're okay, just so they can make it 1 week to the next week. And usually when somebody comes in that's actually serving God, that they get very uncomfortable in that place and they want that person to go. Because that light exposes the darkness. Okay, let's keep going here. And from fornication. It talks about sexual immorality. You know, God has a lot to say about sex and sexual morality, and God has a lot to say about how people live in the bodies that He has given them while they're in the earth. He has a ton to say about all of this. And the scripture is full of examples of people that both walked with Him the right way and did not walk with Him, and the consequences of not walking with Him in this area of their lives. You know, there are people that we cite their lives, and but if you see also the consequences for failure in this area, it's put there as a warning and an instruction to those that would come after, so you don't repeat the same mistake. For example, David, man after God's own heart. We love David, right? But there was an area where he violated God's boundaries. And when that took place, it bridged from one thing to the next, to the next, to the next. And it ended up in a huge mess. And in fact, the word that came was that the sword would never leave his house as a result of all that happened there. I mean, my gosh, for somebody that loved God and had so, there was such a blessing that could have been there throughout, but it was muddled with this other mess that happened there. Let me make it very, very simple. God has made only one provision in His Word for your body and for your sexuality. Within the covenant of marriage that He sanctions, that is the only safe place, period. There's nothing else. Anywhere else will destroy your life, if not completely, big chunks of it. I know we don't have fireplaces in Sri Lanka. We have people cook. Okay, people cook in the kitchens, right? Here, and they use the fire ovens, right? Okay. There is one place in that house where fire is safe. You've got a boundary there. You've got a place where if it's put there, it can actually be put to good use. It can be put to something that benefits the house. It is something where if it is in that context and in that provision, it is a good thing, a blessing for that home. But if you go start that same fire in your living room, if you go start that same fire on your roof, if you go start that same fire in your front lawn, what happens to the home that you live in? It's the same fire. But in one place where it is of benefit and it is a help and it is something that is good for that home, that same fire will destroy that home in another context. You know, outside of the covenant of marriage, if that goes, if that is something that is, a person has an open door in their life, do you know that demonic spirits come and go from that person's life at will because there's one big open door where they can? You know, that's why the world works so hard to sexualize people when they're young. Because it knows that if it can do that, it is a very powerful thing that God gave people. He knows that if the demons know that if they can get people down that track, that creates a massive open door where they can come and go from that person's life. Now, here's the thing. God gives people power by His Holy Spirit to basically put to death in our lives anything that is not part of His will and plan and design for us. So whatever it is that people have done, whatever it is that has happened to people, sometimes things happen to people where it wasn't their choice, wasn't their will. We deal with tons of abuse cases here as well. All, you know, there are things that happen to people where even then God gives power by His Spirit to heal those places, to close those doors so that a person can be whole. But it takes a free will decision, this is our part, on our side to say, Lord God, I choose to align myself, back to Romans 12, present my body as a living sacrifice, because this is the least I can do. So Lord God, here's the way I choose to go. Help me by Your Spirit to do this. So what happens is the Spirit of God will help a person do that which they cannot do in themselves. But we have to make that decision that we want that in our life, that we want to live the way that God intends for us, and we have to allow the Spirit to do the work we cannot do in ourselves. Okay, how many of you have gone on vacation and stayed at a really bad hotel? I mean when you stayed there, you were looking forward to the day that you left. Okay, back to your body. Our bodies are the temples of the living God, right? Now, when we read scriptures, we see the environment that God lives in heaven. It talks about scriptures lay out parts and components. No eye has seen, no ear has heard what God has in store for His people. But we see glimpses of the environment that God lives in. Now, if you know some things about God's home, His environment, the environment that He enjoys being in, is your body and your life becoming an environment that God would feel at home in, or is it like that hotel that you can't wait to get away from? See, when God, what happens when God comes into people's lives? Look, everybody's messed up. When God comes into people's life, every person is completely messed up. We all needed a Savior. Amen. When God came into our lives, everyone was a mess. Every room in every person's house was a mess. So this ridiculous thing that people do where they're like, oh well, I did this but I didn't do that. He did that or she did that and that's really, really bad. No, everybody's a mess. You want to start comparing lists before a holy God?
So,
what God does is He takes us as we are. He accepts us as we are. His Spirit says, I love you. You're mine and I receive you the way that you are. And then once He does that though, and then He comes in, He then says, okay, but if we're going to go on this path and on this journey together, I would like to make this environment a place where I would like to stay. Would you work with me on this? And then He begins, if you say, yes, absolutely, sure, Jesus, I turn this whole life over to you, do with it whatever you want, He then begins to work and to change that person's life and to make them like Him. We become ambassadors of Christ, we become reflections of the kingdom of God. But when somebody says, no, I want this room over here to be like this, I want this mess, I want... What happens is that that's where they stop. He won't override your will. He won't override your free choice. He lets you choose, but what you're also choosing is you're also choosing to not live in the abundant life that God has for you. You are choosing of your free will to live a substandard existence for your time in the earth and to also limit the power of God in your life and the purposes of God that would be manifest through your life. Scriptures talk about it in Luke 8:14, where it talks about, in fact, here, let's just flip there, but keep your fingers in Acts, Luke 8:14, and talking about the seeds that fall on the different soil, it says, it says, and that which fell among thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. Luke 8 verse 14.
Thank you.
So those things that compete for a person's affection, compete for a person's heart, those pleasures of the world that are not brought under the subjection of the Word of God and the will of God, those destroy a person's life and that which God intends to do with and in and through them. Now it's not just manifest on the physical level of people. This is a heart condition. You know, I mean, Jesus even said, look, if you look on if you look on a woman a certain way and you've already done something with her in your heart, it's the same thing as you acting out, because it starts there and then it manifests in the natural. You know, here, flip to Job 31. Job understood this. Job 31 and verse 1 says, I'm almost there. 31 says, I made a covenant with my eyes. With mine eyes, why then should I think upon a maid? Job chapter 31 and verse 1. Verse 1, yeah.
Job 31 palaveni padey kiyenawa mage assamaga gimsumak kalani ebevi panniyawak desa balanne kohomada.
So he made a deal with his eyes that he would use his, that he understood the principle of guarding his heart. Guard your heart, because out of it comes the issues of life. So Job didn't say, okay, I'm going to, let's just see how close we can get to the edge of the cliff. No, Job said, look, I'm moving this all the way back here. I'm putting my house over here because this walk and relationship with God is important enough to me, and I don't want to miss the track that God has for me. You know, on the subject of eyes, do you know that pornography is one of the most damaging things to an individual and a human being? Because, you know, I was, when I was in university and I was reading through some studies actually on it, when somebody looks at pornography, when with their eyes they say, okay, I will now put myself in this situation and I will look at this, I will feed on this, right? When they do that, it impacts you mentally, it impacts you physiologically, it impacts you, it actually has a physical impact on you. And of course it impacts you spiritually. And because we live in a day and an age now where it has become so easy and convenient, you know, now before people had to go to sleazy little bookstores in some back alley and hope they don't get seen, today people can with one click on a computer look at what at all of this stuff is thrown at them. And you know what this does is that it impacts you in a way on all levels of your being. And if the stories we could go into sometime of people, how this impacts them, their ability to actually have a relationship with a real person. Because you know what? All of that stuff, even by satanic design, is there to create an illusion and to create a perception and to create something that is not real and to destroy what God intends. So the world shows sex without consequence, things for pleasure, all this stuff the world shows you, it doesn't show you the other side. And it knows if it can just get people to buy the illusion, feed on the illusion, allow that to go into their soul, it can take them into deeper and deeper depravity and destroy them. Do you know that pornography is as powerful as a drug? I'm not making a comment off of my sleeve that research-wise, physiologically-wise, that they've actually done research studies where they have found out that the physical, physiological, mental impact parallels use of a drug, use of a narcotic. And just like the use of a drug where people need more and more to get the same high, they need a greater thing to be able to get that buzz that they got before from drugs, right? The same thing, what happens with pornography is that people need more and more base, depraved things to be able to get that same feeling that they got back when they first got into it with something that, you know, later on they'd be like, oh, that's not a big deal. Now, rather than somebody justifying all of these things, rather than that, if somebody says, Lord God, I hate this. I hate what this does to my relationship with you. I hate what this does to my relationship with other people. Lord God, will you deliver me from this? And then take the steps that God says to you individually so that you can then walk free. Because God will give you individual instructions for what He has for you to do. This is your instructions, not God's rules for all the other, but for you, if you want to be free, here's what you need to do. So, you know, there are thousands and thousands of problems in people's lives that would be solved if they just followed even this basic thing in Acts 15 where they just gave them some basics of starting, if you just follow those, how many things would be solved in your life? You know, it also said from things strangled and from blood. You know, life is in the blood. You know what I mean? So it gives some basic things for the people at that time too. That it's like, look, even through this day, God has a way for us to live in this life. Now this is not about rules and regulations and putting things on your life that shackle you. This is about you understanding that you can live free and live the abundant life God intends for you. God sets us free so that we can live holy. See, the world, again, it's the illusion. The world says, here, I will give you, they give the illusion of freedom, but it's more and more and more bondage. Whereas we, becoming slaves of Christ Jesus, now shift into freedom. Ultimately, what God would desire for you is that your spirit, your soul, the mind that you have in you, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. So your spirit, your soul, and your flesh comes into alignment with Him. And if that alignment happens, there is an incredible flow from the kingdom of God in and through your life. Incredible power is unlocked in your life. Direction and fulfilling the will of God in the time that you have here in the earth. And with that, my time is up. My time has been up, but we have to finish that today. So we will stop there for today.